Let's give our young folks another hand. You know, it's amazing that we can celebrate with them and encourage them in the things of God, and they're going to need it in life because this world is often cruel, and there are a lot of things that they have yet to find, but we know that God will show them the way. Amen. God will direct them. So again, choir, thank you. Thank you. And also, we are very, very blessed to have the Pink Witnesses with us today. And, you know, we often say to ourselves, well, it won't impact our family. But this year, it's impacted our family. My sister-in-law was diagnosed with breast cancer. And this group reached out to her, gave her things that she would need for her journey to recovery. And so we're just very grateful for that. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, turn with us to 1 Corinthians, rather, and chapter 15. Still talking about the winning way. The winning way. How do you win in life? How do you win in life? Anybody ever lost something in life? Yeah. Lost friends. What you want to lose is weight, but that's... keeps coming back. Amen. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're looking at verses 57 and 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 and 58. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Just want to share a brief thought with you. We've got a lot of things going on today. You may be seated. But last Sunday we talked about made for more. You were actually made for more. What does that mean? We examine two things that we have to be aware of. One is God's abundance. God is a God of abundance, not lack. There's nothing that God needs. He has everything. He has absolutely everything. And when I say everything, it's in abundance. But the second part of that is where we come in, and we have to look at our capacity. How much can we receive from God, and what can we do once we have received that gift from God? So we're going to look at some things today that will help us further understand what it means to be made for more. And to put this in perspective, you're going to probably be confronted with a lot of things in life. And you're going to ask yourself the question, am I an overcomer or am I a loser? Will I be able to accomplish something through this, or will I give in and say I've lost the battle? A lot for us to think about, a lot for us to consider. And as you consider that, God wants you to be a winner. Amen? So let's look at this today. Let's look at where Paul is coming with. And we're actually starting with some things that we might see as problems. Problems. How do we deal with these issues in life? And what's troubling to me is that people don't recognize that what God gives you is a gift. It's a gift. He gives it to you. He wants you to apply it. He wants you to receive it in your life and to be able to do something with it. Question is, how do we handle God's gift in this troubled world that we're living in? How do we go about sharing that gift with others? And I believe there's some things that we've been deceived about. If you notice, the devil has sought to deceive us even from the beginning. Adam and Eve, he was engaged in deceiving them and keeping them from the blessing that they would receive from God. So there's some things in our life that you've got to be aware of today. How can you be deceived? And the first thing is the lack of knowledge, not knowing what you should know and allowing ignorance to become bliss. People have used the statement, what I don't know won't hurt me. Are you sure about that? We just talked about being diagnosed and going through the process of examination because you might have something that could be very detrimental to your life. My wife and I wasn't aware of it, but when we moved earlier last year, come to find out we were neighbors with a research doctor engaged in the study of cancer research. How amazing is that? And some of the helpful things that she shared of her experience of working with that. And here's the thing that we find is that by a large margin, African Americans have gone underdiagnosed. And more of them are catching it too late, where things now have to be done at a radical level, whereas it could have been treated earlier. My point is, ignorance is not bliss. You need to know things in life. You need to know what's happening with you and in your life as you go about traveling through this world, because you're going to meet with some things. You're going to meet with confrontation. You're going to meet with situations that are above your level of dealing with, and it's good to know that you can call on God. The book of James tells us that anyone lacks wisdom, who do you ask? Ask of God, and He will give to you liberally. He pours it out upon your life. We're defeated in our lives because of the things that we don't know. But then second, we're defeated because we depend on human ability only. We're looking at what we can do. God didn't ask you to play the hero. He wants you to be His child, His servant, so He can guide you through these situations in life that you will be confronted with. Don't deceive yourself and think you can play Lone Ranger. A lot of times in my life, I would have done more, could have accomplished more, had I reached out to other people and we did it together. You don't have a point to prove, especially when you get 70 years old. There's nothing to prove. You got to realize that life can be a challenge, and it's much better when you reach out and you join with people around you. That's why we call this the body of Christ. Amen. What we can do together. So don't be deceived. We need each other. We need people who will stand with us and be there with us and stand strong to help us in this journey of faith. But then there's a third area that we talk about, and that is the area of sin. Allowing sin to come into your life, and not only is it going to waste your time, but it becomes your robber. It becomes your robber. It robs you of opportunities that you could be doing or could be accomplishing had you been focusing on doing what's right. God wants us to do what's right. He wants us to serve Him in spirit and in truth. He wants us to follow Him. And don't ever think in your mind, well, I'm the exception. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whenever we follow the path of sin, we're going in the opposite direction of where God would have us to go. I'm going to give you a couple of examples in our message today that's going to help you understand a little bit more about who you were made to be and why God made you more than a conqueror. But right now, I want you to make a confession. Say this after me. I am more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Our youth just sung it. I am what God says I am. But I want you to say that again. I am more than a conqueror. Whatever I'm facing, I can go through it with God's strength. Now give the Lord a hand. Amen. So how do you get more in life? How do you go about winning? Preacher, you can stand there and you can motivate us and you can say all of these wonderful things, but what process do I engage in to get more in my life? You know, a lot of us are good learners after the fact. When the lesson is over, then we say, oh, yeah, I should have done that. couldn't have, should have done, gone that way and went some other direction. Three things that I'm going to give you today. First is prayer. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Prayer. You need to pray about all things. Pray in every situation in your life. But then following prayer, you got to put it into practice. You got to put it into practice. You got to do what the Bible says you can do. Did you not know that this is our code book to live by? In Campbell County, they have what's called a code that they follow. And it usually follows Virginia's code where they say, here's how you build stuff. Here are the regulations that govern that. Here's how you're to do this. And I didn't know this, but when I was doing some repairs on my house, forget that, me doing repairs, but anyway. I didn't know that you had to call in an inspector. You didn't just get a license to do it. It was my house now. I'm paying for it. But still, they want you to be safe. They don't want you to burn your own house down. They don't want you to do a whole lot of stuff. So they informed me that there is a code book by which you are to do things. I said, oh, that's what you call it. And come to find out, there were things that I had to go back and do because it wasn't according to code. And ladies and gentlemen, we can come together and we can worship God, but if we're not following the code, winning will never mean anything to you unless you engage in what this book says. Granted, you're not going to understand all of it, but what you do understand, put it into practice. Book of James also says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because when you hear only and not do, you're deceiving yourself. So prayer, then you got practice, but the third is praise. We simply think that praise is lifting up your hands or singing a song or doing something else to express how you love God. That's part of it. But what praise does, it elevates you to a level to where now you are seeing something that is beyond the situation that you're engaged in. Let me explain to you. A lot of times, if you're looking at the problem, you'll never get beyond the problem until you can see something better.
Work set.
I'm going to get some of my young people to come here for just a second. I need two young people. Two young people. Jamar, can you come? Okay. All right, thank you, sir. You man, you're good. You're good. You're good. Didn't he sing happy birthday? Now I want another older person to come. Well, that's good. Come on. Come on, Brother Harris. I want you to stand right there. Mr. Harris, I want you to... And Mr. Skates is back there, but you're right here. Now, I know you're not a problem. Okay? I know that. But I'm going to say you might be a challenge in life. You come to challenge me, right? But I've got help on the other side of you. Okay? Jamar, I want you to stand right there. Now, here's the point. If I keep looking at Mr. Harris, I'll never see Mr. Skate. Do you understand what I'm saying? If I keep focusing on you, I won't know where my help is coming from. Why? Because I'm focusing everything on right now, what I see, rather than my help. Can I tell you that my help comes from the Lord? And when people thank you, you've been good. Bless you. Amen. What happens so often in our lives, we are looking at the situation and we're not paying attention to God. God says, look unto me, from whence cometh your help. But all we can see, I just got this issue. Can't pay my rent, my light bill going up. Look to God, look to the hills, from whence cometh your help. All of your help comes from the Lord. Amen. Thank you, sir. All right, we'll do that a little bit later. So you got to know who you are talking with and why you need to stay focused on what Jesus is doing in your life. And I'm not talking about what he did. I'm talking about what he is doing. Praise God. He did the finished work on the cross, but now he's working it out in you. God is coming into your life and helping you. I'm going to give you a couple examples real quick to show you that we can overcome. Doesn't mean that your problems are eliminated. It doesn't mean that you won't have to cry sometime. But again, when you got your right focus, you can see beyond what you're going through and look at the one that you're going to. Are y'all in the house? You are made for more because it's through our Lord Jesus Christ. When you accepted Christ into your life, something dynamic happened inside of you. God's power began to explode in you so that now your weakness and your infirmities, the thing that held you down, they're no longer barriers to you. You can stand upright and say, I know I'm a child of God. But you'll never discover it until you start praying, until you ask God to help you. But then we also look at practice. Notice Paul used the word gives us victory. It's a gift. God gave you the trophy. And all you got to do is stand tall and say, Lord, I know you're working it out. We give in because of ignorance. We give in because we're listening to everybody else except God. Let me bring up my first example and then I'm going to get ready to close. Let me bring up my first example, Abraham. God spoke to Abram in the Bible, 75 years old. Should have been getting ready for retirement, but he said, I just got started. God spoke to him, said, Abraham, leave your country that you were born in and go to a land that I would show you. I don't know very many folks 75 years old just kind of pack up and leave town. Ask him, where you going? I'm going where God showed me. Well, where's that? I don't know yet. I haven't got there. I'll know when I get there. The scripture says he obeyed God. My question to you, are you going to just camp out on the borders of trouble and problems, or are you going to ask God to show you some new territory? You got some faith territory that has never been discovered yet. You got some ground called walking by faith that you've never stood on yet. Let me tell you something. When you contract a problem or you get diagnosed for cancer, you're in a brand new ball game. You take every minute seriously because you know, for all you know, it could be your last minute. But when you got God on your side, can I preach to you? When the Lord tells you, go ahead. When God tells you, I'm with you. When the Lord says, I'll make a way out of no way. Why would you be discouraged or be defeated in your life? Because he has given us what? He's given us victory. But victory is not something you just stand back and wave at. Hey, victory. You got to practice it. What was Abraham doing? Every time he obeyed God, he was practicing his victory. Hadn't got the promise yet. By the way, his name meant father of many nations. And he didn't even have one child yet, but he trusted God. Abraham prayed. That's how he received the messages that God would give him. He prayed. Spend some time with God. Don't just come to the Lord with your pick list. Okay, God, right now, let me see. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. That's not your relationship with God. It's good to bring to him your need, but it's also good to ask God, Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you engage me in my life so that I can walk by faith and not by sight? Abraham didn't really listen to a lot of people in his family. Why? Because they were content right where they were. If you're not challenging life, if you never get to the place where life is a challenge to you, then what you're doing is you're settling back and you're drifting. And if you drift in your life, you don't know where you're going to end up. Be challenged. Be challenged to become more and do more, because guess what? You were made for more. That's right. You were made for more. Some of you allow situations to come in and you've had these things going on for so long that you think it's the norm. But God's ready to shake some things up in your life. God's getting ready to move you into a new place where you never thought you'd ever be. It ain't over yet. Amen. God just got started. Amen. Working in your life. He just got you started. And all you got to do is walk by. Don't look at what you see. Go by what his word says you can accomplish. Abraham practiced that. Every place he went to, as far as his praise, he would always build an altar to worship God. He built a place where he could recognize, rather than looking at what went wrong, let me memorialize God in my heart. Every time I go through this place where I didn't have water, but God gave me water, I'm going to also build me a memorial unto the Lord so I can recognize God did it for me. That's the way he lived his life. That's the way you and I need to live our lives if we're going to have complete victory. So what does Paul say? What is he saying this? Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. And notice he said us. He included his writer, the ones he was writing to. He could have said, thanks be to God to give me the victory. No, this thing is shared. You and I celebrate the victory that we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then he follows it up in the very next verse, keeping us in focus. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. And I could just look at that. I can imagine a warrior on the battlefield like David. That's our second example. Steadfast. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Don't give in to everything in this world. Young people, let me talk to you a little bit. Stand your ground. If it's something you don't feel is right, don't participate in it. If somebody is bullying, you don't have to get on their team. You can say, no, that's not right. I'm not going to be a part of it. When you stand up for what's right, stand therefore in the evil day, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. In the Lord. God's going to work that thing out. Amen. Let me close by giving you my second example of King David. Before he became a king, he was a shepherd. As a matter of fact, he was the child that his dad sent out to the field to tend the sheep. Now, we look at that as a nice little story because you've seen a bunch of these little sheep on the Serta mattress commercial. And you think, oh, these sheep are so wonderful. I can count them while I sleep. Sheep are nasty. They're about as bad as a pig. We didn't raise sheep. Dexter, we raised pig, and they were bad, but a sheep is bad. And you got to look after them all the time. David could have said, you know what? I'm never going to be anybody. All I'm doing is out here with these nasty, stinky sheep. What am I going to be in my life? And one day his dad gave him a call. Hey, I want you to go out. Check on your brothers. Bring me a report back of how they're doing. Take some lunch, take something for the captain, and just bring me a report back how they're doing. His dad didn't say anything about him going out there and facing a giant. Are y'all with me today? His dad just wanted him to go out there, just ride the buggy out, come back home, tell me how they're doing, everything's fine. But when he got to the battlefield, it was a different situation. He heard the giant in the valley taunting the people of Israel. And he said, hey, what's going to be done about this guy? Why is he saying this? Watch this. Something on the inside awakened. When you're facing your difficulties in life, because you know God, he begins to stir up something on the inside that tells you, I'm not going to take this. But now you got to have a plan. You don't just go out and face giants and saying, the Lord sent me out here. You got to have a plan. David understood that God was his victory. Notice it says in this verse, thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. I just had Jamara and Mr. Harris stand up here a little while ago. But when you've got goodness on one side, mercy on the other side. The battle is no match for you. The battle is no match. So what I'm telling you is that you can overcome. Let me rewind the tape and show you how things went out. They said to David, finally word got back to the king. Hey, you got a young boy out there. He thinks he's able to stand up against the giant. And here's how weak Saul was at that point. He was willing to allow a young boy to go out to battle. Why? Because he was fearful. Well, let me tell you something. When God is in your life, there is a holy boldness about it. Yeah, I got to go through this, but guess what? I'm ready. I'm prepared. I came out for the battle. Now, remember when David left home, he didn't realize he was going to have to face a giant, but when he got to the battlefield and nobody else was stepping up, he said, you know what? My God is too big. My God is too great for me to just stand here and do nothing. He said, now, wait a minute. Let me check my inventory. God blessed me to kill a bear. He blessed me to defeat the lion. And he looked at the giant and said, now, I'm wondering if he's going to be number three on my list. He knew that God, look at somebody, tell him God is able. God is able. You can't do it on your own. You can't fight that battle. But when you step on the battlefield, and then you know that the Lord is with you, already, the battle is already over. They were saying, well, if you're going to face the giant, then maybe what you need is some of my armor. So he took his, his robe off, put on the armor, and it says that he assuaged to go, which meant that stuff didn't fit him. Not only was it not his size, it just wasn't right, period. May I say to some of you, you are wearing what other people have put on you. Take that stuff off and say, you know what? I'm just going to be who God... Anybody want to be what God wants you to be? Anybody want to stand because God told you to stand? Anybody an overcomer because God said you were an overcomer? Folks told you you couldn't do it. They said you wouldn't even be here today. But guess what? I'm standing. I'm standing. Look at somebody, tell them I'm standing in Jesus' name. You better quit using other folks' stuff. You better quit using somebody else's testimony. You better quit talking about, well, he did it for them and maybe he'll do it for me. Know him for yourself. I got to go.
Work, Riff.
Here's my question. What's opposing you today? Is it financial difficulties? Is it health? Is it maybe on your job? Is it a situation in your home? You might call it a giant. But God doesn't call it that because he's bigger than everything else. Are y'all still here? What I want you to do is size up who you're fighting. Do like David did. He went down to the brook, picked him out 5 smooth stones, 1 slingshot. Why did he get 5? Was he going to miss with the first? No, Goliath had some other brothers. He said, you know what? If they want to come in and help big brother, I'll guess what? I got something for them. What am I saying? You will never get beyond your problem by running in fear. Some people, I haven't even looking at my slides. I've been just preaching. Let me catch up. Hold on. Let me catch up. Hold on. All right, got Abraham, got him. Now we had David. Okay, we're good. We're good to go. If you're going to get beyond the challenges in your life, size them up. Ask God for what you need. That's your prayer. All right, go out there and stand in the evil day. Don't run from your problem. Don't ignore it as if you don't have one. Say, God, today I'm going to face it. But I know you're going to help me. And guess what? When God shows up on the battlefield of your life, when that doctor's looking at you, and they're saying, no way you're going to make it. But you just look beyond the doctor and know where your help comes from. My help comes from, you can see it. You can see the shadow of his wings covering you. And knowing that he is your mighty God. Did you know he made you an irrevocable promise? I learned that word the other day. Irrevocable. Fresh, you like a word. I love that word. Irrevocable promise. He said, I'm with you always. David knew that because he had talked with God. He knew that because he had written songs to God already. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He knew that God was his provider. So here comes the giant. And the giant said, you ready? David looks at God and said, God, you ready? Let's get this show on the road. I want you to look at your problem. Take a good look at God. And then say to yourself, Lord, thank you. I got the victory. Y'all got victory today? Now, as Paul Harvey would say, now you know the rest of the story. David walked away from the battlefield that day, but I thought about something. Had he not stood against that giant with the simplicity of the tools that he had, Israel would probably not be a nation today. We wouldn't be talking about King David, because he would have failed the test against the giant. What's going to be your trophy of faith? Is it that you stood up against a disease? You stood up against a challenge? Now is the time for the people of God to become more. The devil is railing on us. Church ain't nothing. People of God, they don't have anything. We might not look like much. As the old folks say, we might not look like we amount to much, but don't mess with us. You've got so much of God in you, and all you got to do, pray for clear understanding, practice what you have, and then praise him. I wonder why David is known as the person who praised God. Look at the battles he was in. Look at the storms he had to go through. Matter of fact, I don't have to look at David. I can look at some of you. I can see that either you've been in a storm or you're going through a storm. But I dare you to get your praise on. I dare you to thank him. I dare you to bless his name, because something on the inside begins to rise up in you and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Anybody know what I'm talking about up in here? Come on, give him praise. You never would have made it, never could have made it, if it hadn't been for the Lord. Thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. While you're standing, there might be someone that has never accepted Christ, never received him in your life. We want to give the invitation. This is not just to come down and shake the preacher's hand. This is to know that God is real, that he's a mighty conqueror, and he wants you to be blessed by his power. Is there anyone today? Maybe you're online and you've been listening, and now you've been under conviction that the Lord, you need him in your life. Remember, God is able. You can't come in here, but you can respond. Go to our website, crossroadbc.com. We'd love to get back with you and help you. But if you're here today and you don't know that Christ is real in your life, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Whosoever will, let him come. Let me one. Amen. Everybody love the Lord? Yes. Amen. Did y'all get blessed today? God bless you. You may be seated. Come on, choir. We're going to get ready for our offering as they prepare to come. got a couple of announcements I want to make before I leave the pulpit. Candid donations are being accepted for the trunk or treat collection, and that box is in the youth church. Also, some had requested copies or information about our bylaws. See our church clerk right after service, and she will be happy to help you with that request. Amen. As many of you may know, or some may not know, Reverend Warren Anderson passed away this past week, and his services, memorial services, will be on this coming Saturday at the St. Paul Baptist Church in Forest, and the service will be at 12 noon. They will be having a family hour at the Tharp Funeral Home on Friday night from 6 to 7. So please be in prayer for the family, and if you can attend the service to encourage the family, we greatly appreciate it. I'm going to have our officers to come forward.